It's Darren Winston's Book Report.
Hey, Jill.
Are you noticing a different type of book buyer, or do things just continue? Are you same clients? Are there new people wandering in? I'm curious. I received one of those email thingies from Barnes & Noble, and the subject line was "Get Coloring." And I looked at it, and I went, what? A zillion coloring books. Coloring books for Serenity, coloring books for... And I thought, what's wrong with... What about crayons? You know, what about... And it made me think, who's out there? What are they doing, and how are they raising their kids?
Well, back to the question, if I think I understood it. I do see some sort of trends, but mostly I think I just make my own. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way. I mean, I decide, all right, I have a table to fill. What am I going to do? The other day I had half a dozen books out that were all recent publications by local authors. And I didn't want to just put them out. So I looked at each one and I thought, okay, what are their subjects? What does one think of? And I went around the shop and I pulled, let's say, a dozen books, two for each, that had to do with each one. And then I looked at the whole thing and I thought, okay, I have a theme. The new books are slightly thematic because they're local and they're more or less in the popular culture's mindset as of now. And I've pulled these dozen books off my shelves, which are backing that up. But really, the only theme there is one that I just saw or made up. And every year I try and do, you know, a Christmas display and a Halloween display, and I'm about to do the Halloween display. And last year, I went around my shop and I thought, okay, what are the themes of Halloween? And I thought of witches and pumpkins and the color orange. And before I knew it, I had 15 books, some that had Halloween in the title, some that had, again, a pumpkin or a witch or...
Some orange. In the cover. No, and it's amazing. And what... I don't know. There used to be a game. It was all little magnetic filings in a... slate.
Oh, sure.
And you'd move the filings and you'd put them together. And I always thought, well, great, you know, if I had a magnet, some people, if I had a hammer, but for me, it was if I had a magnet, you know, what would I? And that's in a way what you are talking about. I'm asking what happens for people. I mean, then hopefully people respond to the way that you have set it out. And that's the difference between a good curator or a good salesperson or a good display creator and one who is just average. If somebody wanted to do that, and you know, I always complain about graphics, for example, because I cannot. I know that people who design things on, you know, in a small screen, are always shocked when their product is visited upon them in the actual world because half the time you can't read it, for example. But I'm wondering, how do you convey to somebody, well, you need to know this, or if you're going to put something like this together, do you use as a magnet?
I think I was talking to my assistant the other day, and I said, oh, I'd love for you to do this Halloween display. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do because really I want you to do it, not because I don't want to, but because I think it's fun and I'm curious to see what you'll make of it. And the only magnet, if you will, is Halloween. How you treat that is totally up to you. But what will happen, and it's not even a question of it's being successful or not, is it will be a vision. And in this case, it'll be her vision, not my vision. And I remind myself, whether or not I'm any good at it, that there's lots of other people that are, and they should have their chance to do it. And I've got, you know, enough space in my shop where I do little sort of tabletop vignettes. And sometimes if I'm reading The New Yorker, I'm listening to NPR, and there'll be a bunch of stories that are tied to a bunch of films and books that are coming out, and I'll think, oh, I've got some stuff that's related. So again, I pull those things out so that somebody comes in and think, oh, I just read something last week in the Talk of the Town. How funny. Here's the book. Honey, come here. Look. Boom. And they buy it. Hopefully that's how it all it pans out. So the magnet is really your exercising my ability to not see a trend.
It synthesizes information and then put it out there.
In a way that you want to buy it. It's not, I don't put out a box of flour, a box of sugar, and a box of salt. I put out a muffin because I know that that's the thing that you'll want. And if it's a series of muffins, like in my shop, it's a series of books, they have to be or should be visually appealing, subject appealing. Sometimes, in every April I do a baseball display. I love baseball. And I not only do I pull out baseball books, but I have sort of props. I have old mitts and old gloves. And some people will come in and just take in the visual and love the fact that, okay, there's an obvious theme, but there's the thing of age, and there might be a bunch of books from the 50s, which would respond to perhaps a bunch of people in their 60s, and things from the 40s, who maybe a younger generation who's doing their baseball homework sees this sort of thing. It's like wanting to spark conversations, and it could be, even if it's something I don't know, if it's not a specific thing like a Christmas display or a baseball display, I'll decide to do an art display, and I'll think, okay, I'm looking at the books from a design point of view. Is it a color thing? Is it a size thing? I almost enjoy finding a thread, following it, and then waiting for someone to notice, oh, all those books. It's almost like on rock radio when they say they play a couple of songs and you have to find the thread and they all mention the word devil or something. I'll do that, not so much as a game, but I think, okay, I've got to keep it interesting. The more if I change the displays as often as I should, I'm going to run out of ideas if I just stick with a few holidays and sports. Sometimes it'll be a designer, and there are several book designers who not only worked through the decades, but did a lot of work, and I will have 5 examples or 10 examples, do a display just of their work, because then someone will come in and think, I have no idea who this person is, but how cool that they covered children's books and art books and penmanship or whatever the subjects are. That both keeps it interesting, but it also, back to your earlier point, it keeps me synthesizing information as I take it in. How am I going to use this information of some obscure outboard motor builder that I learned about that lives in Vergennes, Vermont? I want to use that information somehow. Right. And
somebody else is going to benefit from it some way.
Some way.
And how do your, I don't know if the question should be, what's the ratio of people who walk in and say, hey, that's cool. But how do you find that people respond to it when you've done it? Because I'm sure there's the wink, and then there's the double wink, and then in other words, there's the obvious,
right?
And then there are the nuances, and
people will sometimes, I'll either overhear them talking to whoever they're with, and they've sort of picked it up, and sometimes they'll ask a question, and oftentimes, if they get it, then it just provokes this long discussion, which may or may not result in a sale. But sometimes it's nice to talk to people about the very esoteric either subject matter or esoteric links between these things. There's a social side to what I do, and I think what other booksellers do, where you're sharing information. I often think my customers know a lot more than me about their given interest, because they might be focusing all of their attention on one thing, and I'm focusing all of my attention on everything, which means I have to parcel out that attention in a totally different way. So somebody says, oh, I see you've got all of these 19-teens American jazz pianists, and you've got Willie the Lion Smith, and you've got James P. Johnson, but you forgot such and such. And I'll say, oh, I didn't really know about him. I heard that he was on a record with somebody in the 50s, and then again provokes information, discussion. And then I remember it. So the next time I do the discussion, the display, I put that new thing I've learned about front and center. Because now I want someone else to say, oh, I didn't realize that Lionel Hampton, before he was playing Vibes, did this thing. And I'm making all of this up, but it sort of keeps things interesting.
It keeps it circular. It also creates context, which is something that seems almost, if you're able to spot what's missing, half the time, it's, oh, where's the context? Where does this fit in? Where does this connect? How is this? What makes it relevant? And I think that as we progress, context providers are going to be in as much demand as content providers are.
Oh, totally. It's almost like having a greeter at a store, but it's a greeter into your world. Someone, it's like, was it Gazoo, the guy that was on, like, would hover over Fred's shoulder and talk to him. You know, somebody goes with you and says, oh, the reason this painting is interesting is because of this. Or on this corner in 1947, Willie the Lion Smith, you know, left a pack of cigarettes or something. I love when people come up to me and they say, I saw your, you've got this collection of books by so-and-so, but you're missing one. And it might be that I have no idea or would have no idea that I was missing one, but because this person is a sort of armchair expert, they tell me I'm missing it. I go out, I find it, I complete the thing, and now it's taken on. Now it's become a story. Before it was random thoughts. But it does happen a lot. People will come in and they have this missing puzzle piece and they don't know that they have it. They don't know that I would benefit from it. But when we come together, I'm in a position to kind of close that circle and then disseminate that information. So if somebody says, gives me some little kernel, I will make it my business to get it out there, whether it's a catalog description of a book, which then goes online, or writing to a bibliographer and saying, you know, you've done this amazing thing. You left this out, which is something I also didn't know about, but here is proof that it fits right in between these two things. And it happens a lot if I'm dealing with letters by famous people. So take example, for example, someone like Winston Churchill, and I'm sure there are other people more researched than him, but the Martin Gilbert biography, which I think is 20 volumes and is not quite finished, but there's three supplementary volumes to almost every volume of the biography. And you see letter after letter after letter, day after day, and occasionally I will buy a or come across a book or letter that's not recorded. That's the term we use. It's not, no one's ever seen it. And I look at the letters he wrote the day before my letter, the day after, the day of, who they were to, and you see the same. And I did this with Rupert Brooke, the World War I poet, where all the content of my letter sort of spilled out into four or five other letters written the day that mine was and perhaps the next day to different people. But of course, he catered the information to who he was writing to, whether it was his friend or his mother or whomever. And that's fantastic, because not only do you now record your letter, but you can draw distinctions and say, based on all the previous work that's been done, we now know all these references he's making. His own words help us to figure that out. And then people like Jeffrey Keynes, who was a great Rupert Brooke scholar, fills in blanks. And it's fascinating, but it's also tons of fun, because it's like a board game that you're playing against yourself, but you can still beat yourself as opposed to, you know, lose and think, I couldn't draw the distinction. I had all the pieces and I just couldn't put it together and like make a paper doll out of it.
It's Darren Winston's Book Report.
Thanks, Jill.